So there's four gospels. If you from the New Testament, you guys know this. There's four gospels that are an account of the life and the ministry and the work and the words of Jesus: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And three of them talk about, in some form or fashion, the birth of Jesus. Matthew and Luke, they talk about the historical accounts of the birth of Jesus, like just the historical events, excuse me, just the literally what actually happened, the historical events that surrounded the birth of Jesus. Mark, Mark's the shortest gospel. If you've ever wondered where you should start reading your Bible, it's a good place. He was all about brevity, all about action. He skips the birth story. He's not interested in the birth story. He doesn't have time for that. By the time his gospel starts, Jesus is in his 30s, okay? It's like, boom, here we go, we've started. And then John is the most unique of the four in his telling of the birth narrative, because John doesn't talk about the actual events of the birth of Jesus. Rather, he talks about the significance of the birth of Jesus. And one of the things I find so powerful is how these different accounts kind of work together to show us a beautiful picture of the Christmas story. And that's what I want to do for a few moments tonight. And I want to start in the Gospel of Matthew. And if you've grown up in church, you've heard this. Even if you haven't grown up in church, if you haven't been in church in quite some time, you have heard portions of the story, some of this you'll remember, but I'm just gonna read to you Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, as he's recounting the actual events. He writes this: "This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about." Very logical. "His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: 'The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him to do, and he took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." I think in that moment, the most beautiful and powerful part of that story, of Matthew's account, is when he talks about the prophecy being fulfilled, that they would call Jesus Emmanuel, which means God with us. The very birth of Jesus, Jesus taking on flesh, God in a bod, okay? This was not like symbolic, "Oh yeah, God is with me, I can feel it." No, it is quite literally God the Son took on flesh and was born. And this right here, Emmanuel, God with us, the birth of Jesus, what we celebrate on Christmas, this was God interacting with the world in a way like he never had before. Jesus taking on flesh marked a brand new beginning for God's activity in the world and amongst his people. This was a brand new beginning for how God would interact with his creation. A new beginning for all people. Matthew wants us to know that when Jesus came down, here's what it meant: God with us. But John, when he wrote his gospel, he wanted us to know what this means for us. Matthew wants us to know God with us. So he tells us Emmanuel, the prophecy fulfilled, God with us. But John, the way he writes, he wants us to know, what does it mean for us that God is with us? So we're gonna look at what John wrote. But before we do so, a little bit of backstory is helpful, okay? Just like any story or any movie, okay? If you jump into the middle, you have to ask some questions and people are annoyed, okay? Because you just miss helpful context that sets up the rest of the story. And to fully appreciate what John wrote, to fully appreciate how he decided to depict the coming of Jesus, we've gotta go back to the very beginning. And by the very beginning, I mean the Genesis beginning. Genesis chapter 1, the very first verse in our Bibles, in the beginning. In the very beginning, before there was anything, before there was any creation, before there was any humans, before there was any earth, before there was anything, in the beginning, we're told, that God created the heavens and the earth. And whether or not you read this literally, that's okay. How it happened isn't as important as that it happened. God created the heavens and the earth. Out of nothing, he created something. And then we're told that now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So we're told the earth is formless. It's got no purpose. It's got no shape. It's like, just imagine like a sad ball of Play-Doh that doesn't look like anything. You can tell I've got toddlers. It was empty. It lacked fullness. Darkness, proverbially and literally, covered it, meaning it was lifeless. And into that formless body of matter, into that void of body of matter that did not have, void of any kind of life, into the darkness, God spoke four powerful words that changed everything forever. Verse 3. And God said, into all of that, let there be light. And there was light. I want you to imagine this for a moment. Like, it's darkness. Light has never existed before. And light burst into the scene for the very first time. God speaks, and his words birth light that cuts through the darkness for the very first time. These four words birthed a brand new beginning. These four words birthed brand new life into the formless, into the empty, into the darkness. God spoke, and light served as a necessary foundation for all of life that would follow. Light had shown itself for the very first time in a way like never before. And from that very moment, light became inseparably linked. Light became inseparably linked from God's presence and God's activity. God's presence and God's activity. Throughout the scriptures, where light was, that's where God was. Where light was, God was working. Throughout the New Testament, light is life and darkness is death. And what we celebrate on Christmas is this right here, Emmanuel, God's presence with us and God's activity in the world and in us. The coming of Jesus, our Savior, God's final King. So John, then, when he sits down to write his gospel, when he sits down to write the significance of God with us, he actually had Genesis in mind. Because what John did was continue the story that started in the very beginning. This is how John's gospel starts. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning. Not the beginning of like the Christmas story, not in the beginning of the Gospels, New Testament. He's talking about the Genesis beginning, in the very beginning, before there was anything. He says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, what's the Word? The Word is Jesus. Well, why is he called, what's going on here? This Greek word here, Greek word for word here, is logos, the logos of God. And there's actually a lot of scholarly debate around why John chose the word logos to write about Jesus. And there's actually, no one really exactly knows why he chose to do that, okay? So if you have a way to ask John, let me know. But there's a lot of debate. But the reason why in your New Testaments it is translated as word is because logos is often translated in different Greek manuscripts and different contexts as outward expression, message, or speech. And just as somebody reveals who they are with their words, Jesus came to reveal who God is when he came to take on flesh. Jesus came to reveal who God is with his message. Jesus came, the Word of God, came to reveal to the Word, to the world, what God is like. And Jesus had a message that would be great joy for all people. John goes on. He says, and he, Jesus, the Word, was with God in the beginning. So again, he's separating the two. So there's God the Father, and then there is God the Son, the Word, Jesus. He's God, and he was with God in the very beginning, like in Genesis, when all things were created. In fact, John talks about this. He goes on, he says, through him, Jesus, all things were made, the creation of all that we know. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Okay, so why is John going on about this? This is really, really important. He wants everybody to know that Jesus is God, and he wants everybody to know that Jesus was in the very beginning before there was anything. In other words, the birth of Jesus was not the beginning of Jesus. What? Right? When Jesus took on flesh, that was not the beginning of the existence of Jesus. And John wants to make that crystal clear. Jesus has always existed because Jesus is God. But on Christmas is when he chose to stoop down from the skybox of heaven to take on flesh to come close. Why is this important to John? John wants us to know the status of Jesus. John wants us to know the preeminence of Jesus, that he might have come to look like us, but he is far greater than us. And ultimately, Jesus could not fully reveal what God was like if he was not fully God himself. Jesus could not offer the hope that we sing about and preach about if he was not fully God himself. Our faith would be futile if he wasn't fully God himself. But because he was, because it was God who came down, that Jesus was not just a historical figure, he was also an eternal one. John could then write the very next words about the significance of God with us. He goes on in verse 4. After laying out the status of Jesus, he says, so in him, as a result of what is true about Jesus, in him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. And that light shines in the darkness. It bursts through the darkness, and the darkness has not and will never overcome it. In Genesis chapter 1, light cuts through the darkness, and light is the necessary foundation for all of light that is to follow. And John wants to know that the continuation of that story hits its climax with the birth and the coming of Jesus in John chapter 1, where the Logos of God, the very Word of God, cuts through the darkness, takes on flesh, and came to illuminate the darkness and dispel the darkness for all humankind. So John says that the Word, Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. He made his dwelling among us and for us. Light came down from the very beginning. From the very beginning, light has been linked to the activity and the presence of God. It happened in Genesis chapter 1. And then right here in the birth of Jesus, we have the climax of that presence and that activity seen in the person and in the words and in the work of Jesus, who came for you and for me to save you and to save me. And his light is life. That just as the earth was formless and void and darkness hovered over it, lifeless and empty, before the light came in, so is your life and mine before the light of Jesus enters in. And the beauty of the Christmas story is that the birth of Jesus is God proclaiming to the world yet again, let there be light. The birth and the coming of Jesus is God proclaiming to all people, let there be light. The birth and the coming of Jesus is God proclaiming to you and to your family and over you and over your family and over anybody that you know, let there be light. Genesis 1, it was a necessary foundation for life. And John says the full life that we can experience, Jesus came, the light of the world came to offer you and me. Jesus dispels the darkness, and his light is new grace for you. His light is new peace for you. His light is new hope for you. His light is new life for you. From the very beginning, God has been in the business of illuminating the darkness. From the very beginning, God has been in the business of bringing hope where there is none, bringing light where there is none. Jesus, the very light of the world, came to the world to be the light of your world. Jesus dispels the darkness of uselessness with the light of purpose. Jesus dispels the darkness of sorrow with the light of joy. Jesus dispels the darkness of fear with the light of peace. Jesus dispels the darkness of tragedy with the light of hope. Jesus dispels the darkness of sin and shame with the light of forgiveness. Jesus dispels the darkness of death with the light of life. And he promised that whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. And he assured that for us. Because in the very life of Jesus, when it looked like the darkness had won, after he'd given his life on the cross for the world, and he lay in that tomb, it looked like the darkness had won, but then 3 days later, he rose from the grave, defeating the power of sin, death, and darkness, because the light of life came to save, and darkness would never hold him down. And so in the birth of Jesus, we have the beautiful proclamation, let there be light. In your heart, in your life, in the midst of your circumstance, in the face of your shame, for your future, let there be light. And that Savior invites you to follow. That Savior invites you to surrender. That Savior, the King of all kings, came for you. So for some of you this Christmas, it means remembering that where God's light is also his presence and his activity. And so for some of you, it is remembering and taking hold of that reality this Christmas and reminding your heart of something that you probably know is true but have forgotten. Jesus, the light of the world, came for me. Emmanuel, God with us. So God, let there be light. Let my heart and my life be reminded of that light. And then there's others of you. Maybe it's not remembering, it's for the first time allowing yourself to believe it. Allowing yourself for the first time to step into it. To call on the God that sent Jesus to save you. To surrender your life to the King that wants more for you than anything else could ever offer. To finally take a step out of the darkness and into the light that is life that Jesus came to offer. The light of the world, God's proclamation, let there be light so he could be light to you and for you. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, what a beautiful picture of your love. that you would come close, that you would not shy away from the darkness. You would come to illuminate the darkness. What a powerful thing that you would do that for us. So Heavenly Father, I pray that in these next few moments, would you illuminate the darkness just right now? Would you illuminate where there is no hope? Illuminate where there is no peace? Illuminate where there is no love? Illuminate where shame has gotten too loud? And would you allow us to take a step towards, give us the courage to take a step towards the light of life, Jesus? And may we walk in that light and not let the darkness gain any kind of hold. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the fact that we can celebrate Emmanuel this Christmas. We love you, and it's in the matchless name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.